yes, the sounds of the quiz show ringing throughout Western Pennsylvania. Paul against me, me against Paul. IT and City Limits have come up with the questions. I don't remember the season score. Did I win the last time we played, Paul?
I think you did.
With me, you, and Paul?
No, I think I did.
I thought Paul won.
Paul won. That's right.
Yeah, Paul won.
Paul's 1-0. This is game two.
Isn't this the third quiz show we've done?
Yeah, the one with Bob didn't count. That was just an exhibition.
Okay.
I think.
So then Paul is 1-0 in the quiz show.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you, and it's especially important that you have a hot take. Yesterday was a great day for text in the city.
Yeah, it was one of the best we've had.
Oh, our listeners, they're brilliant. Social media's biggest loser, Donnie Football, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. I'll tell you this much, it worked for Donnie. He looks like a new man. All right, explain the rules of quiz show limits.
All right, so we have 7 questions prepared. We can cut it down to 5 if you'd like. It is up to you during the quiz show.
Yeah.
I will present a question to Joe. Wait.
Do we have a point? Points assigned to each?
Yes, we're getting to this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I will assign a question to you. If you get the question right, you will get 1 point. Mm-hmm. Would we allow the other person to steal the question, though? Do we want it dead at everybody gets one guess, or do we want to keep going until...
Keep going. That's half
okay,
the fun.
Keep all going.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then the final question is 3 points. We have 6 answers for the final question. And Joe, if you say that you can name 4, Paul, if you can say that you can name 5...
We'll explain that
it.
Later. Yeah, yeah. We'll explain the last question later. It's a bonus question.
It is the bonus question.
It's a numerical question, I believe. All right, let's go. Paul should go first. He's the champion, right, after one game?
Correct. Paul, first question to you.
Okay.
The Pirates had a losing record against only one National League team in 1979. Who was that team?
Wow.
The Reds.
Oh, my word. Paul Zeiss, the Reds is correct.
What?
The Cincinnati Reds, the Pirates were 4-8 against them, but the Pirates swept them in the NLCS to go on to the World Series and ultimately win and beat the Orioles.
What caused you to look that up or find that?
Ask IT.
IT? What was happening
what
there?
What was the cause to find that Pirates
across
question?
That one?
He just found it.
Okay. Next question.
Good job, Paul. Joe, to you.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the pitcher that gave up the hit to Roberto Clemente that was his 3,000th?
Thank you for asking, because I just wrote about this with the Willie Mays situation, and it was John Matlack.
John Matlack is correct.
Yes, it is, City Limits. Yes, it is.
I did not know that for all intents and purposes.
Never got that.
He didn't, neither would have I, a week ago, except I wrote the piece. Matlack said he didn't know why they were celebrating. He wasn't aware that Clemente was going for his 3,000th hit. He's like, why are we stopping the game here? We have a ball game going on. Anyway, go ahead, please. It's 1-1.
Paul, to you. Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, and Greg Maddux, the trio for the Braves as the Pirates are coming up to Atlanta this weekend, won multiple different Cy Young Awards in the 1990s. How many combined Cy Young Awards did Glavine, Smoltz, and Maddux win?
Wow. Glavine, Smoltz, and Maddux. All right, so...
Joe knows.
No, I don't.
Let me think about it.
I just don't like numerical questions.
Well, I'm thinking of Glavine, Smoltz, and Maddux.
Yeah.
I think that Glavine won 1. I think Maddux might have won 3. And I think Smoltz won. So 2, 3, and 1 is what? 6.
6 is correct.
Oh, come on. This is like him doing the Rubik's Cube. He's like a beautiful mind over here. What is happening?
I am flabbergasted that you got that one.
So, flabbergasted is too light a word. In some ways, Paul is a genius. There's just tragic personality flaws that have held him back.
That was incredible. Smoltz won 1. Maddux won, what'd you say, Trent 3. And Glavine won a couple.
I can't believe you just figured that out.
Yeah. I mean,
he's smarter than the average bear.
There are some things I do remember, you know what I mean? And then there's other things I don't.
If I handed you a Rubik's Cube right now, how long before you solve it?
You know what? I haven't done it in a while, so probably 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, maybe. I haven't done it in a while.
It could literally take me 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever do it.
I haven't done it in a while, so it'd probably take me two and a half minutes or so, something like that.
Well, Joe, you don't like numerical questions, so I'll phrase it to you this way. What St. Louis Cardinal won 13 gold gloves in a row during the 80s and 90s, and two of them were not with the Cardinals?
Ozzie Smith and the other two were with San Diego. We're tied 2-2.
Correct. 80 and 81 was San Diego.
The rest were with St. Louis. You like the little backflips he used to do, Paul? Yeah. The backflip when he ran out to his position?
Yeah.
He was a showman. He
was a beauty.
The
Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard. One of the greats of all time. 2-2.
Well, the truck is not feeling very good back here, not being able to stump you guys. Let's see if this one does it. In 2012, the Steelers set an NFL record with how many games that were decided on the final play. Wins, losses, all won. How many were decided on the final play?
Him or me?
You.
Paul, you are up in 2012.
All right, so 2012. I got to think about the season real quick. I'll say four.
Four is incorrect.
They were decided when? In the last 2 minutes?
Play.
On the last play of the game.
On the last play
the last
of the game?
An NFL record.
Was that the year they had the tie with Michael Vick? 37-37?
Might have been.
That game was never actually decided, now that I think about it.
No, it was decided in a tie.
I'll say on the last play.
Yes.
Well, that includes last-second field goals and overtimes.
Correct.
Seven.
Incorrect.
Wow, at this point, we're just guessing. Six.
Six is correct.
I mean, at this point, we're just guessing.
You're right in between.
That's the problem with numerical questions. You just start guessing numbers, and it becomes less than entertaining. I'm sorry, Folsy.
That's okay. So this question is to you, Joe, correct?
3-2, Paul. Yes, I got to hold serve again. This is getting really exciting. Yeah.
Joe, you should know this.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the only player to have recorded 5 assists in one period of an NHL game?
Mario.
Mario is incorrect.
I hate you. I'm sorry. That was mean. Paul?
This seems like it's a little bit of a trick question, but I mean...
Is it a trick question?
It is not a trick question.
All right. Gretzky.
Is incorrect.
All right, now we get a clue. Is he active?
He's an active player.
Connor McDavid.
No.
What?
Sidney Crosby.
No.
Oh, my God.
Your
did
next
this
clue.
Happen? This happened this year. Chris Letang, and we're tied at 3.
Chris Letang with 5 assists in the second period against the Islanders this year.
Wait, he's the only player who ever did that, or the only defenseman who ever did that? Only player says IT?
Only defense. IT gave me the wrong note.
IT!
Only defenseman.
Well, it still holds, right?
It still holds, I guess.
All right. It's 3.
IT was not clear with that part of the question.
It's
he's very frustrated.
He's
that's
a very young man. He's
that's
entitled
okay.
to
we forgive you, IT.
Or,
we forgive you, Trent.
Paul, it's coming down to the final question.
The 3-point question.
Here we go. Whoever wins this wins this particular game.
Can you name the top 6 goal scorers in Penguins history that have all scored over 300 goals?
What you meant to say was, Paul, how many of the top 6 can you name?
Yes, Paul. How many can you name?
And then once he says that, I have to name more or he
Correct.
Wins. The top 6 goal scorers in Penguins
top
history?
Top 6 goal scorers in Penguins history.
In any order?
In any order.
Okay. How many can you name?
Paul, how many can you name?
Four.
Joe?
I'm going to make him name 4.
He's going to name 4.
I'm calling his
You're going to make him name 4.
You have to name 4 without a mistake or you lose.
Lemieux, Jagr, Crosby, Malkin.
Joe, why wouldn't you say 5? He got 4. Those are the 4 easy ones.
Now I feel ashamed.
Those 4 were easy.
That's
if you would have
said 4, because I knew there were.
He knew there were 4.
I knew those 4.
That is the top 4.
And there's a bunch of other guys that I'm like, was that
who
guy?
Who is it? Kehoe, Pronovo, who?
Yes, those were the next two.
Oh my God, you won all six.
You had all six.
I knew all six.
You
would have
won, but you didn't bet on yourself, so you lose.
I bet on yourself. You played a hell of a game. That's
I
a better
tried.
Game than Malzi ever played in the quiz. He was perfect, almost.
Yeah, he got them all. Every one that he wanted a point on that you didn't, obviously, name.
I mean, he didn't get everyone on the first try, but he came damn close, and they were hard questions, not the last one. I failed.
Well, that's why I said four, because I knew there were four. I was, like, actually thinking I was going to say five, but I didn't say five because I was, like, trying to think of, like, okay, was Paul Coffey on the team long enough? Was, you know what I mean? I started, like, going through. I'm like, Mike Bullard, was he on the team long
right.
enough? Right. And then I was like, I don't know if they were on the team long enough. I know those four guys were, though.
You got it. And you earned it. He's a champion.
We actually shoot back a little bit. Now we're the playground bully. Get a life.
So it's 2-0, Paul, on the season, correct?
That's right. Paul is the leader in the clubhouse.
All right, Limits, why don't we finish the show with a rousing rendition of Tex in the City? We have time, though,
yes.
to discuss our original topic, and you can reset your opinions here. Mine is that because the National League stinks, because you have three healthy, really good pitchers at the top of your rotation, and because 80 or 82 wins just won't be enough for me, I think it's playoffs or bust. This season for me is going to be a failure. The bar is the playoffs right now, or the Pirates season is a failure in my book, Paul. What's the bar for you right now?
Well, I mean, like, I think that... Playoffs or bust is a little tough, but over 81, absolutely. I don't think it's unfair to say 82, you know, 83 wins is the minimum that this team should achieve. And you know what I mean? Because that would show clear progress. That would show that they're moving forward. It would also put them on the doorstep where you say, okay, now you've gotten 82, 83 wins. I don't want to hear about how, well, we're not quite ready to win next year. So that would put a lot of pressure on, go in this offseason, go make the team better in areas that needs to be better. And 82, 83 wins to me would be a sign, you know what, that they are really in you know, this five-year plan is really starting to come together.
Freely?
They got to go for it and be above 500. Or else there's going to be a lot of questions and concerns about what is the future of Derek Shelton and Ben Cherington. I mean, it's just realistic to ask that. And if they make the playoffs, hush, a lot of questions are starting to be silenced. But if they don't, then I got a lot of questions about what the future of this team is really going to be. They have to, maybe I don't think they necessarily need to make the playoffs, but they have to be 500 or else there needs to be significant changes.
Man, if they just get in. If they just get in, they can beat anybody because of their pitching. That's just a fact. That's why I say it might be easier for the Pirates to get to the World Series than to get to the playoffs. I really believe that, if it makes any sense. I think
yeah.
it does.
Well, I mean, that's what you said. But here's the thing. If they win 83, 84 games...
And just miss out.
And somebody like the Padres and Mets go crazy down the stretch and win 88.
Yeah, I guess it'll be tough to be too critical.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I do. Paul has a new flow coming up here, and we'll finish up with Tex in the City. That's your job out there. Creative, poignant, funny, whatever you got, send it in. 412-928-9370. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We'll get to that next. Fan hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Paul, I was just discussing Ron Cook, my old friend and partner, because he used to like the Geico read with Tim Hester.
Right.
If he doesn't have one already, I think Ron needs a girlfriend. He needs a companion. And I think the biggest impediment for him is his own self-image. He thinks of himself as a Shrek-like figure. Like, he looks at himself and sees the Elephant Man. I think he's perfectly respectable looking for a man his age. Do you guys?
Well, let me bring this to the table. From Briscoe in Orlando, what if Paul's daughter came home with fit and trim Ron Cook? Mr. Hester may be getting a call about a life insurance claim.
Oh, boy.
A life insurance claim.
That's a 10.
Yeah, that's a 10.
That's a 10. That's related to our Belichick talk from today.
That just ruined my day. Just so you know.
But on a serious note, Paul, does Ron need a companion there in Doesn't he deserve that in his...
You're assuming...
It's the fourth quarter.
You're assuming that he doesn't have one.
You're right.
When have you talked to him?
I haven't.
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying.
But I feel like until he cures the self-image problem, that there can't be one. But I could be wrong. I'm willing to admit that. That's my wish for him. As he enters, he's going into overtime here. He's into the fourth quarter. I told my wife last night, I said, we're headed into the fourth quarter of life here.
How old?
Ron?
Yeah.
I don't know. Late 60s, maybe?
You don't know how old Ron is?
No, he never told anybody his birthday.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, too. He didn't do
Remember that.
Remember that? Was it ever not up on the board when you first walk in?
No. He makes it a point to not tell people his birthday. So you never saw it on the board here, nor does anybody know how old he is.
So you can't wish him a happy birthday.
No, you can't, which is what he wants. And that gets back to the self-image problem. So this conversation's come full circle. He doesn't even acknowledge his own birthday. He thinks so little of himself.
That's sad.
Well, here's the thing.
Does anybody know? I guess his daughter would know.
According to the Beaver County Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He graduated from Blackhawk High School in 1974.
All right, then let's figure this out.
Well, it's funny you brought this up because I actually know how old Ron is because I've done the math before because I was curious.
19... He's 68.
He's 68.
Yeah.
You knew it too.
Wait, no, I didn't. He just told me he graduated in 74.
Yeah, he's 68.
Means...
Well, how do you know?
Because I looked it up before.
Where?
Like when Ron's last week, I looked it up.
Oh.
So basically, he would have been born in, what, about 56, right? And that would make him 68?
Yeah, exactly. Let's wish Ron well, shall we, all together? Send a little vibe out to him in Florida?
Of course.
Good luck, Ron.
That like an aging Ernest Hemingway, he may find a life partner.
He's in the Beaver County Hall of Fame.
He could use that to his advantage, I would think. Is Parado in the Beaver County Hall of Fame?
I think so.
I know Pomp is.
Yeah.
They practically built a statue for him. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT crew cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications, sunchevy.com. High of 75 today with sunny skies. Did you guys see where they're going to use AI? Is that the proper name for it? They're going to use Al Michaels' voice at the Olympics to narrate highlights, but it's not using AI. Michaels listened to it and was like, oh my God, that's like within 2% of my actual voice. Like, you can't tell the difference.
It's scary.
And that creates the scenario, as Mike Florio put it on Pro Football Talk, Paul, of what if broadcasters are replaced someday just with voices? And also, I was just thinking, if you were the Penguins, would you have an AI voice of Mike Lang do your highlights the next day? You know what
That's
I mean?
That's a great point.
Or you know, could you have Myron Cope's voice on Steeler highlights?
Yeah.
It would be incredible. Or Bob Prince on Pirates.
Could you get to the point where you could actually have them call games?
Oh, I hope not. That put a lot of us out of jobs.
I felt the same way as a sports writer when they invented computerized writers. Like for high school games, they just generate the story with a computer. You just feed in the facts of the game, and they're like, Jim Smith led West Mifflin last night with 47. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They write their own stories. What are the ramifications here, Paul? with AI-generated broadcasters' voices. This is actually going to happen. A fake voice of Al Michaels.
And there are people that are upset because they, for what he just said.
What? Puts real people out of business?
It's going to start putting real people out of business if you can start doing this where you, you know, can do highlight. I mean, think about it. Highlight packages. You could basically do, you know, like, for instance, Inside the NFL or a show like that where it's all highlights. You know, they put it together on the Tuesday.
With John Madden's voice.
Right.
Who's one broadcaster who is either no longer working or no longer with us whose voice you'd love to hear on a game right now?
Cope would be one. I'd probably want to hear Howard Cosell.
That might be my choice, is Howard Cosell.
Howard Cosell.
What would your choice be, Paul?
Probably Howard Cosell. Although, you know, Madden is really good.
Yeah. I never heard the Gunner, obviously, live. I'd love to hear Bob Prince on a game.
What about Facenda doing all the...
John Facenda.
Oh, yeah.
Steelers.
That would be tremendous.
His voice is great.
The Autumn Wind is a Traitor?
The Autumn Wind. Yes. What a great intro to
Can you find
anything.
That?
The Autumn Wind?
Yeah, The Autumn Wind is
the
a
Autumn
Traitor.
The Autumn Wind is a Traitor is tremendous. You know, what's the other one that's really good? There are...
The Magic Bean. Was it Joe Namath? Was that the one that they
what
had
is it?
With him?
There are 27 other teams, and then there are the Pittsburgh
Steelers.
Oh,
the writing.
Right?
By, what's the dad and so with the guys from NFL Films? What were their names?
Yeah. Sables.
The yeah. Sables.
Right.
I interviewed Steve Sable once when Hank Stram died. And I say, this just happened on the golf course the other day, Paul. Again, I said, I just want to keep matriculating the ball downfield. And the guy who I was playing with said, how much mileage did Hank Stram get out of that one quote from NFL Films?
Yeah. Yeah.
Matriculating the ball. I love that.
The other, you know, the other quote that from NFL Films that always they got a lot of mileage out of was a seal here and a seal here and run up the middle.
Lombardi?
The alley or something.
Or run up the alley. That's it. A seal here and a seal here and run up the alley.
I can't get enough of it, all of it. I'm still addicted to this stuff.
And even though Facenda doesn't do it anymore, I still like NFL Films when they do
so
stuff.
Do
it's usually really good.
Ed and Steve Sable were brilliant.
Yes.
They were brilliant. They earned their rightful place in the Hall of Fame. They were great writers in addition to what they did
on film. I
remember
I talked for a while when I was out in Philadelphia. I was, at Temple doing my master's degree. So I was working for the Temple News and stuff, but I was also doing correspondent work for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and, doing all the stuff you do when you're trying to get experience and clips while you're in school. So... I got a chance to talk to Ray Dittinger for a long time. You know, the guy from the Philadelphia Daily News who ended up doing a lot of the writing for NFL Films. Now, that was a really interesting discussion. And we talked about a lot of different things about, Steve Sable and what he was like and what the, working for them was like. And
did he say it was a good experience?
Oh, he loved it.
They seemed like genuinely good people.
He thought it was tremendous. You know what I mean? I mean, he thought it was tremendous. But he was, speaking of, we were talking about Bruce Gayden as a brilliant writer. Ray Dittinger was an incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
A
writer.
Legend.
He really was.
I for some reason, the NFL, and I think this is one of the reasons that it became America's game, was they were able to capture the mythology of the game on film and take us in their sport where we want to get in every sport, in the locker room, on the sidelines, in the huddle. All that crap on the field, they took us there. I was watching a Barry Sanders. You see the Barry Sanders doc on Netflix, either one of you?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Paul?
No, I haven't.
Brilliant. He's there for his first exhibition game in Detroit. They haven't won in a million years. He's not supposed to play. It's an exhibition game. So he stands on the sidelines in his helmet for the whole first half into the third quarter. The beginning of the fourth quarter, the crowd is chanting his name and they put him in the game. In a preseason game, he runs for a touchdown and all of Detroit goes absolutely nuts. Bonkers. And they have all the footage and he narrates the whole thing. I can't get enough of it. What's next, Limits? Let me tell you first, the Fan 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. By the way, he's the greatest running back of all time. I didn't see Jim Brown. Barry Sanders is the greatest running back of all time.
He was really fun. He was unbelievable.
Oh, my God, the highlights.
Yeah. I mean, again, Walter Payton was really pretty spectacular, too.
And I just watched one on him.
Yeah, where I watched one. Of course, it's very painful for me to watch it because I always got to – then we've got to rehash the playoff losses, but I watched one on Warren Moon two nights ago.
What a star he was.
Oh, I loved it. But then, of course, we had to see a couple of the playoff losses, and that bothered me.
Yeah, the one they were ahead 35-3 wasn't exactly –
You know what? That one bothered me.
It wasn't his fault.
But that one bothered me. But I think the next year they were even better, and they lost to Joe Montana and Marcus Allen.
Yes, they did. Yes, that was a game where they got in the fight, didn't they? Buddy Ryan and Gil Bryan?
At home, I might add.
Yeah, that one hurt. You read them, we rate them, 1 to 10. What's the next text in the city?
Brian from Bonox, Joe Starkey is the absolute real-life version of Tom Hanks in the movie Big, where he plays a kid in a man's body. Love the youthful enthusiasm. I'm the same age as him, but I feel like I'm 80.
Paul, they used to say I look like Tom Hanks in my youth. Any resemblance here?
I could see that. Absolutely.
Limits?
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
Nah, you were not going to say that, and you just decided
I don't think
to
you do,
me.
But I can, now that like I'm picturing you
me.
And Tom Hanks, I can kind of see why people would think that.
Best Tom Hanks movie is what? Mine is
Forrest Gump.
Mine is Sully. Yours? You didn't know he starred in the Mike Sullivan story, did you?
I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is. That thing
Todd
you do.
Reardon has a, he won for supporting actor that year.
That
Limits.
Thing you do. You ever see that movie? A tremendous movie. That's probably my favorite
Tom Hanks. I know the name of it. What's it about?
That Thing You Do. It's about a garage band in Erie that makes it big. And all of the, you know, rises and then, you know, obviously falls apart. But Tom Hanks plays their manager.
I never saw that.
He wrote it. It's actually a really, really... it's almost Tom Hanks to a T because it's set in like the 50s or 60s. Maybe like the 60s. So it's like, you know, they go to, DJs and stuff had back then when they had a lot of influence. Yeah. So they had to sell records. But I mean, it was a lot of innocent fun kind of movie.
I'll have to watch it.
I love it.
I didn't like was... where him and the volleyball live together at the beach.
Wilson, the volleyball.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Castaway?
Castaway.
Yeah, Castaway.
Did you like that one, Limits?
I thought it was fine.
It was okay. Sometimes with Tom Hanks, I can't suspend. You have to suspend belief, you know, and believe that it's real. All I picture is, I can see all the cameras, and Tom Hanks is a great method act. I'm picturing, like, the set. I can't suspend my belief. Do you know what I mean?
That and it felt like he was on the island a little too long. It got sort of mundane and boring.
Yeah.
You know, I would have liked to see. I mean, obviously the part of, you know, it was pretty clear the survival part of it was a big part. But I would have liked to have seen maybe explore a little bit more of what life was like when he got back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When he got back to the real world. That was
maybe they could have Castaway Part 2.
What was his name?
Do you think the volleyball went on to live a happy life? Limits got married.
Well,
everything?
I sure hope so. Maybe grew a mustache like JP.
Little baby volleyball.
What about the one you just mentioned, Sully? Sully.
Oh, it was unbelievable. That one was great.
It was interesting. That's the one where he dropped the airplane into the river, right?
Into the Hudson River.
Yeah, that was okay. I didn't hate that one.
I thought that was
really
good.
Some of his, I think, have been very overrated.
Sleepless in Seattle is a great
movie.
That's a good
one.
Are you kidding me?
That's a very good one.
With Meg Ryan?
Never seen it.
She was better than Buddy Ryan at what she did. She was great.
Or Rex Ryan.
Or Rex. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, I think he's done so many different roles. Some of his movies, I thought, at times, like you said, are a little overrated, but
Was Mr. Rogers good? I still haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. I don't know that I ever will.
Limits.
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood?
Yeah.
Been meaning to see it, still have not.
It feels like that's a movie that everybody I talk to, including me, has, quote, been meaning to see, which
yes.
at some point has to change into not interested in seeing. And why is that? Because it's a Pittsburgh icon.
It looks so good, like,
wasn't
real.
The, wasn't the other Pittsburgh movie something about Otto?
Otto Graham?
A Man Called Otto or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I know what you're talking
that's
about.
That's another Pittsburgh movie that I keep saying.
Well, why haven't we watched the Mr. Rogers movie?
Do you
should
really,
we do it all together?
I think we should, yeah.
Do you really want to?
That's
you
the like, next fan event. We all watch Mr. Rogers.
The Mr. Rogers movie, you know what that is? It's the ultimate example of something you say, wow, you know, it's a, what a great thing he did. What a spotlighting of something spectacular, you know, and a great man. But you don't really actually want to watch the movie, do you?
Do you like microwave popcorn?
Love
limits?
It.
I do, but I haven't eaten it in a while because the kernels would always get stuck in my teeth.
Paul? You a microwave
yeah,
popcorn?
Yeah.
Hey. With Parmesan cheese?
No, just movie theater butter, you know.
The movie theater butter is yeah. next level.
Why is it different than regular butter? I can't.
I
think
it
because they just
different.
They have that one little machine with the butter, and they just do pump of the butter.
Why is like, their butter better?
You get a whole pound of the
it's
butter.
Better butter. Why?
I'll give you another great Tom Hanks movie was Catch Me If You Can. Did you ever see that?
That's Leonardo DiCaprio, but it's Tom Hanks as the other guy.
Tom Hanks is the IRS agent chasing him.
Spectacular
that's
movie.
That's a really good movie.
And but a you true story.
Yes. You should watch that movie, That Thing You Do. You would love it. It's great.
All right,
well
Paul.
Written.
Can
tremendous.
I do the 50-minute mark? Yeah.
About three times, yes.
Okay. Did I do everything else?
Yes.
Good night.
Good night.